Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
We got a local kid coming in at number 77, tight end Jake Tonjes, who's a really fun player. Went to Los Gatos, just south of Santa Clara. Then he went to Cal for 5 years, was with the Chicago Bears for a few, and then joined the Niners last year on our practice squad. And so this is somebody that really, I don't know, he embodies a lot of what the 49ers like. The versatility, he can play fullback, he can play tight end, very intelligent, obviously went to Cal, local guy, he's got support, he's what the 49ers kind of like. Even whenever I went back looking at his videos, he's got like the fun little stash, mustache going on, I'm like, dude, this is like Kittle's little brother, I swear. So shout out to our team, Zach. He was the one that led this episode, but also we've got Dave, Josh, and Oscar helping us out. Now, Jake Tonjes came in all over the spectrum. You know, we ranked 1 through 91. His highest ranking was 58. His lowest was 86. There's a big gap. And I think a lot of that has to do with the position, maybe not Jake so much, because there's turnover. The tight end position, you lost Dwelly. You lost, you know, Charlie Warner, who those have been your tight end two, tight end three for as long as we can remember. So who's going to step up into that role? Now, they have added Logan Thomas, which I do think hurts Jake's chances in this past week. But this is somebody that's been in the 49ers organization for a year now practicing. You can't say that for Cameron Latu. He hasn't been doing that. Jake's been out there at practice every day since September whenever he joined the 49ers in 2023. So he already knows the system. He already knows how it goes. And the 49ers elected to bring him back for year two. Now, as we dive into exactly what Jake does, he wears jersey number 88, 6'4", 240, smaller tight end, move tight end. Definitely that Dwelly mold that can play fullback, can play tight end. That's what he brings. 32-inch arms, not bad. 24 years old. He's been in the NFL for 3 years. He's younger than a lot of the rookies we just got. Very young. And this kind of goes with the whole COVID thing. If you got out during or right at COVID, you're young. If you got out afterwards, this current rookie class, you're going to be old. It's just there's two different time periods of people that came out for the draft. He was an undrafted free agent. 7.093 cone, that's great. 35.5-inch vertical, great. 17 bench press reps, nah. And that kind of is a testament. He's a smaller, undersized, move tight end, fullback. Not your big, burly, blocking tight end too. He's the move piece. Much more Dwelly than Charlie Warner. Now, as I said, went to Los Gatos High School, you know, just south of Santa Clara. If you've ever made that drive down to Santa Cruz, you passed his high school. Graduated from Cal in 2021 with a bachelor's degree in American Studies and added a graduate certificate in business administration in December of 2021. So intelligence, that's there. Now, coming out of high school, you know, Jake didn't really, he was like a zero-star recruit. It's pretty hard to find any type of recruiting information on him at all coming out of high school. But if you look at his time, he came to high school. He was a quarterback his freshman year. Sophomore year, stayed with that and then eventually switched to tight end, defensive end, played varsity basketball his junior year of high school, all those different things. Walks on at Cal. So he had to earn a scholarship at Cal, which is a testament to, again, overcoming adversity, you know, just what he had to go through just to get college paid for. But he did. Became, you know, a leader on that team, five-year player. It was absolutely, you know, he had 23 starts for Cal, 47 receptions, 620 yards, and four touchdowns. Versatile piece, and he played all over the place. A little bit of split out, wide out. He played fullback. He played tight end. He played inline. He played move. Did it all. And so it makes sense whenever you look at, like, oh, wow, this is exactly what the 49ers kind of value for somebody, the versatility. That's their number one thing. That and intelligence, and he's got both. So doesn't get drafted. Signs on with the Bears in 2022 for their, you know, undrafted free agent class, and he sticks for 2 years with them. Then gets waived to an undisclosed injury. That's kind of what happens. Think about the Shanahan manipulating the back end of the roster. The NFL's catching on there. A lot of teams are doing that now. He gets waived on an injury settlement, joins with the 49ers 2 weeks later, and he's been with us since. So he signed on September last year. He's been part of this team since then. He has been activated. The Bears activated him a few times. I think he played in four career games. Didn't get a lot. 16 offensive snaps, 11 special team snaps. That's all on his NFL resume, which isn't much. But, you know, he's going into his fourth training camp. He's going into his fourth team practice squad. That's right there on the horizon. Makes sense. It's kind of what he's going to be. Now, the 49ers signed him to a reserve future contract, $915,000. That's the vet minimum that they could pay him. Zero signing bonus, zero guarantees. So if we're looking at just the money and the contracts, he's the only tight end on the roster that has zero guarantees. Every other tight end that the 49ers brought in, including Mason Plyne, the undrafted free agent, all got guarantees. He's got none. So the money says he's at the back end of this. I'm going to argue Mason Plyne has to beat him for that job because the Niners like this kid. They really, really do, especially from a practice squad true. Like, you go out there and you're repping the scout team. Like, he's perfect for that because he can play so many vital roles. You're playing against a team with a tight end, yeah, he could be the tight end. You're playing a team with the fullback, he can move down and do that. You're playing against a team with a very stout running back, you can put him back there and get reps there. So from making the 49ers better standpoint, Jake Tongins makes sense on the practice squad over somebody perhaps like a Mason Plyne. But if you're looking at somebody who's going to actually contribute to the team game day eventually, Mason Plyne's ceiling is much higher than Jake Tongins. Now, we've talked about his journey with the Bears and the 49ers. His career earnings, $700,000. That's what he's got for 3 years in the NFL. And I think it says, you know, whatever you look at, well, he's got a 1 year contract for $900,000. You only get that. There's no guarantee. So if he doesn't make the roster, he's only getting a small portion of that. So somebody making the roster like Jake Tongins changes their life financially, generationally. So very, very fun to root for these back end guys. Now I'm going to divert a little bit and we're going to go to George Kittle. He was just asked at OTAs to kind of talk about the tight end room. And so he's going to give a very holistic view and representation of what the tight end room for the 49ers looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tight end is very new. You know, you lose Charlie Warner and Dwelly to the Falcons. Two guys have done it for – Dwelly's done it for 6 years and Charlie for 4 years. And so when you lose that consistency, guys who are used to playing, guys who are used to the offense, you know, there is like a gap there that needs to be filled. And I think you know, Cam has come a long way in his rehab stuff, and so, you know, more, really the most important thing for him is just get back on a practice field, and he'll do that during training camp. And he's doing a great job in the meeting rooms. He knows the offense. He's doing a very good job of just learning and understanding what our goals are. So, you know, hopefully he can take everything from that meeting room and you know, apply it to practice, and goes out there and plays at a high level. Braden has gotten way better since last OTAs, last training camp, last season. It's fun just to see him take these strides. He's figuring out the run game. He's a really good route runner, strong hands. And so, like, they have all the abilities. It's just what I always try to say is, like, you can't like replicate reps. Like, you need to go out there, you need to get as many reps as possible. So, you know, Braden getting a lot of reps right now is being very beneficial to him. We brought in Eric Sauber, a guy from my draft class. You know, he's played a lot of football, so I know that's helpful. He does it the right way, works really hard. So that's kind of nice to see too. He's got a really, really solid player. And then Tungus is, you know, I think he's gotten better too, put on a lot of weight, put on some strength. So I think he has an opportunity to, you know, surprise some people too. And then my rookie Mason Plein, you know, he's just figuring it out right now. Smart kid, picking it up. He's huge too, which is kind of fun. 6'6", like 250 plus. So that's kind of fun to see. But I mean, all in all, like, my tight end room needs as many reps as they possibly can. So these OTAs are huge for them. And just looking forward to how they keep taking steps in the right direction.
So I love that. And I love how he goes through every single player and, you know, pros and all that stuff. But he talked about Jake and his strength. Yeah, that's what he has to develop to be a part of this team. You've got to be strong at the point of attack. So whenever we look at this tight end depth, the 49ers could keep 2, 3, or 4 tight ends. We've seen them do all those. The locks, I think there's 2 locks to this roster, and that's George Kittle, obviously, and Eric Sauber. I think he is the number 2 guy, especially with, you know, not Dwelly leaving, but Warner leaving, Charlie Warner. He fits that role. Right behind them, Logan Thomas is so close to a lock. Braden Willis got snaps in the Super Bowl at the tight end spot. And then there's 3 guys fighting for that back end, kind of probably not roster spot, but practice squad spot. Cameron Latu, obviously, former 3rd-round pick just a year ago. He can make this roster. Hasn't practiced at all. They're hoping he'll be ready. Like, he might just be an NFI and stashed another year. Jake Tonchus and Mason Plein. Who out of those guys? They're not keeping Tonjes and Plein, and not on the practice squad. You're keeping one. You're keeping one. Now, if one of those guys can beat Braden Willis or Logan Thomas, which I don't see happening, but it's a possibility, then who knows? But I just cannot find a way for Tonjes and Plein to be on this roster or practice squad. Perhaps I'm wrong, but it seems the 49ers are going with super high upside or versatility and experience. Tonjes going into his 4th season, I think, just has that extra tick. And I do think he'll be on the practice squad. Don't think he's going to be making the 53-man roster. But fun to root for a local kid for sure. Excited for him and want to see what he can do. It's going to be fun. But for us, we're just going to keep counting them down.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming in at number 76 of the 49ers roster countdown for this year, Austin Bryant, familiar face, was with the 49ers last year and came into training camp and got a lot of snaps early. He was working with the ones, the twos. You remember that was the Bosa holdout. There were some issues with health and concerns, Drake Jackson. And, man, there was a point in training camp last year where it was like, this guy is going to be heavily involved in the rotation. Never really panned out that way. Got a couple snaps in week 1 and week 5, but that was about it. He came in 76 this year, and in all of our rankings, the highest ranking he received was 69. Lowest was 78. And, you know, you look at last year in the 2023 countdown, Austin Bryant came in 73. So he's fallen just a couple spots. Not that the 49ers have really brought in a lot of new young talent, but they did bring in a lot of older free agents to kind of keep that depth at the defensive end room. Now, he's wearing jersey number 40 currently for the 49ers. We'll see if that one sticks around. 6'5", 250. The 49ers have two types of defensive ends. They have the stout run stuffers, and then they have the pass rush specialist. That's exactly what Austin Bryant is. Now, the problem is he's never really fit that mold. He's got 5 sacks in his entire career. Now, all those sacks came in 2021, and even though he's got over 1,000 career NFL snaps, he's never got a sack in any other year besides 2021, not even half a sack. So you see it, and the 49ers seem to trust him because they don't have a problem putting him in there with the first or second team in training camp and preseason. It just hasn't really translated to the game, but they have kept him around for a long time. They trust him. He's not going to make mistakes, but he's also the splash plays just aren't there. Now, we continue with his measurables, 34 5/8-inch arms. That's incredible, almost like NFL left tackle length. He's 27 years old, so he's getting older, but more of that savvy back into the roster depth that is filled this entire roster. Now, he tore his pec at the combine doing bench press, so we don't have a lot of the, you know, 40-yard dash and all that kind of stuff. But if you just plug in his height, weight, arm length, man, listen to these names that he has comparables with. 99% match with Frank Alexander, Duke Ejiofor, and an 88% match with another 49ers great, Aldon Smith. Now, obviously, you know, we're moving into he's been in the NFL all the time. You're not getting that type of production from some of those other players for sure. Going into his sixth season. Now, if we jump all the way back to kind of his high school days, went to Thomasville, Georgia High School, Thomas County Central High School. It's barely above Florida. So think about that Florida panhandle. You barely cross over into the Georgia state line. That's where his high school was. Went to Clemson, was a 3-star recruit, won a couple national championships there in 2016 and 2018. With Clemson, graduated with a management degree. Man, listen to these accolades that he had in college. First-team All-American 2017. He was third-team All-ACC 2018. Earned Outstanding Defensive Player honors at the Cotton Bowl for the College Football Playoff semifinal on the way to a national championship. I mean, he was awesome. And stud basketball player and football player in high school, but just has underperformed in his career. He's got a lot of snaps. You know, he was drafted by the Detroit Lions in 2019 in the fourth round and just really hasn't put it together. His NFL career, he's got 66 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 1 pass breakup. Last season with the Niners, 1 tackle, 3 quarterback hits, 3 hurries. Not too bad. You know, and after the 49ers bumped him up, they had him on the active roster, back and forth. They cut him. He went and joined the Minnesota Vikings practice squad for a little bit, but then came back to the 49ers. And, you know, he only got 36 snaps with us last year. His PFF grades in that small sample size, 69.6 overall grade, 63.8 run defense, 66.3 pass rush. He's not a quality player, but he's not going to upset you, right? Like, you watch guys like Chase Young. Chase Young forced Steve Wilks to age 5 years in one season because he either makes a great play or he's way out of his responsibility. Austin Bryant does his job, but you also don't get the freak athletic plays that you get with guys like Chase Young. And so because of that, that's why he's going to be back into the roster guy. It's raises your ceiling your floor defensive end edge play to where you're constantly getting good reps. But at the same time, if he's in there in a game, you're not going to be excited about that. Now, if we look at his entire career, gets drafted in the fourth by the Lions in 2019, bounces around for a while. 49ers pick him up. He was with the Falcons for a moment. They traded the pick to go get him, which is interesting. The Falcons traded that fourth round pick, and the other players that were involved in that trade, Ty Johnson and Kendall Sheffield for Austin Bryant. None of them have really panned out. And in the 6 years that Austin Bryant's been in the NFL, he's appeared in 35 games. Now he signed a one-year, $1.1 million deal with the 49ers, zero guaranteed. That tells you all you need to know. The money talks. Now, if you look at the career earnings of Austin Bryant in the NFL so far, $4.4 million. So he's been able to make some money, and I really, really do respect that. And so hopefully he can continue that going on. Now, if we look at the defensive end depth chart for the 49ers, they usually keep six. Lately, they've been keeping five. Okay, so if we look at the locks at the defensive end, Bosa's a lock, Leonard Floyd's a lock, Yetur Gross-Matos. I'm going to put Robert Beal in there as well, so there's four. So you're talking about one to two spots out of all these other guys. Drake Jackson, Austin Bryant, Alex Barrett, Sam Okwuonu. There's not a lot of back-end guys. They didn't draft a defensive end. They didn't even bring in an undrafted free agent defensive end. So Sam Okwuonu, Alex Barrett, Austin Bryant, Drake Jackson. Maybe one of those guys makes the roster, probably Drake Jackson, and one of those guys gets the practice squad that might get elevated. And I think that's kind of where Austin Bryant fits in. Comes in at 76 on our roster, which is outside of the 53, obviously. But I think he's got a strong chance to hang around, be on the practice squad. If somebody's injured, you elevate him. Is Drake Jackson going to be ready for training camp? I don't know with that knee. If that's the case, that elevates Austin Bryant's chances even more. So not a lot of depth here outside of your top four. So there's a chance for somebody that has a lot of experience in the NFL. Again, over 1,000 snaps for Austin Bryant. So I would not be shocked. And if I'm a betting man, this is not a prop bet out there, but I would say Austin Bryant's going to appear in probably 2 to 3 games for the 49ers this season. Now, he might be cycled through the NFL practice squad with other teams, kind of like what happened last year with the Vikings, but I think we're going to see Austin Bryant at some point in games that matter just because the depth is not there at the defensive end position, and I think he's going to get an opportunity. Fun player, fourth round pick, so the pedigree, the build, the style is there. And if Drake Jackson misses out, Austin Bryant would be the first one to get that opportunity in my guess, my understanding. I want to say thank you to Josh, Oscar, Dave, and Zach, our executive producers of this series. And for us, we'll just keep counting them down.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Danny Gray, a wide receiver, comes in at number 75, and goodness, third-round pick, one catch his rookie year, completely missed his sophomore year, heading into year three. It kind of feels like the writing's on the wall for Danny Gray that this might be your last opportunity. The 49ers go out and draft not only one first-round wide receiver, but also a fourth-round wide receiver burner, top-end speed guy, which seems to be what the 49ers went after Danny Gray for. Kind of seems like his last opportunity. Got to say thank you to Josh, Oscar, Dave, and Zach for helping with this entire series. And, man, Danny Gray, listen to how polarizing a player he is just within all of us ranking 1 through 91. His highest rank on this countdown was 68. His lowest was 91, which is dead last. And I think that that's kind of the feeling that a lot of fans have with Danny Gray, because you've got nothing from this third round pick. I understand elite speed, as fast as they get, 4.33 speed, but it's done nothing. He's done absolutely nothing. You look at whenever he came in 2022 on our countdown, he was ranked 29th most important player to 39th in 2023, all the way to 75. Might be the largest drop of any player from last year this year. And, you know, I got to say, before we continue and try to jump back to why the 49ers spent a third-round pick on this guy, he was having a great camp last year. And, you know, Ray-Ray McCloud was out with an injured wrist, I think it was. Like, Danny Gray was slated to be the starting kickoff and punt returner guy week one of 2023 last year. Got hurt on his very first play in the preseason. He did have a good camp, though. Now, let's dive back. Let's go through the good, because there is good. Hope is not all lost with Danny Gray, even whenever it feels like it. He wears jersey number 6. He's 6'2", 200. That's great. He's built. He's got size. It's not like he's a rinky-dink wide receiver that's coming out a lot of these smaller guys. No. 6'2", 200. Legit size, legit height, legit weight. 31-inch arms. He's 25 years old, just turned 25, actually. Talked about the speed, 4.33, unbelievable. 34-inch vertical, great. 10.6 broad jump. His comps, you plug them into mockdraftable.com. Lee Evans, Steve Breston. Like, there's a role for this in the NFL. It just hasn't come to fruition yet. He's a Dallas kid, went to James Madison High School, was a 3-star recruit. Went to Blinn College for the first 2 years, had to learn what it meant to be a football player, then transferred to SMU, the Mustangs, had a really, really good career there. Now, jumping back to just kind of some of the lead accomplishments that Danny Gray was able to accomplish, track, speed, unbelievable. State champion in Dallas, and again, as somebody that coached track and field in Dallas for a very long time, you're talking elite, elite, elite speed. He was the 100-meter dash champion, 4x100-meter champion, part of the relay team, committed to Missouri, but was ruled academically ineligible, had to go to a different route, and fought and scrapped his way through Blinn College and a lot of these things to get to the point to be in the NFL. Just hasn't come through. He hasn't made the necessary strides that needs to take place to get to where he is. Now, he finished his last year at SMU with 49 catches, 803 yards, and 9 touchdowns. I mean, he's a vertical threat. That's what he is. He was kind of drafted to be Trey Lance's go-to deep threat guy, and it kind of made sense. You drafted Trey Lance with his huge rocket arm. Let's get a downfield threat, right? That makes sense. It just never came out. Trey Lance didn't work out. Danny Gray's not working out. Can he find that pairing, diversify his route tree to where he could be valuable to Brock Purdy? I think that he can. I really, really do. You know, blocking doesn't seem to be an issue with him. At least at camp it wasn't. Like, he's a physical, kind of scrappy wide receiver, and he's got maybe one of the better bodies as far as just development in the wide receiver room. Yeah, you've got Debo, who's super stout, but he's not the best run blocker. You got Ayuk, who's the best run blocker, but Juwan Jennings is there. But I'm telling you, Danny Gray fits that mold. But can he take that junior year leap? It's put up or shut up time. And you see, we got him at number 75, outside of our 53. But I think it's probably a good 50-50 coin flip if Danny Gray makes the roster this year. He's going to have to beat out some players and prove he has some value, especially returning. Like, he could possibly be a returner in the new kickoff system. Put him in, you know, there's a lot of options. They drafted a lot of guys, but he's going to be in that mix. And again, I keep telling this, and I know it's hard because you're not allowed to film at training camp, but 11-on-11s, one-on-ones, Danny Gray was making huge strides. He had a great training camp. Really, really did. Gets out there his very first game in the preseason, gets tackled out of bounds on his shoulder, gets injured, put on IR, and he goes from being the starting returner for the 49ers at the start of 2023 season to Ronnie Bell took his place. And by the time Danny Gray got healthy, it was just shoulder shrug. We got Ronnie Bell. So can he reclaim that? I personally think his ceiling's way higher than Ronnie Bell. But Ronnie Bell's done way more in season than Danny Gray's ever dreamt of to this point. So can he overcome that? Remember, this dude was picked in the third round, Danny Gray, seventh round. But it's a meritocracy. Can he earn that back? You look at his rookie year, 2022 season, played in 15 games, only 96 snaps. Really wasn't great at all. Listen to these grades. 53.5 overall grade, that's terrible. 52 pass grade, terrible. 63.1 run, not bad. 65.2 run blocking, pretty decent. Not bad. 35 special team snaps, had one tackle, one catch on 6 yards, and that was from, I think it was Josh Johnson. Like, it was in garbage time. So, yeah. He's got to prove something, and it's just not there. Now, you look at the wide receiver depth chart. Usually, the 49ers keep 5 or 6 wide receivers. Now, here's the problem. I have 5 locks at wide receiver already, and Danny Gray's not one of them. Ayuk, Debo, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing. That's 5. So, if they're only keeping 5, it's done. Now, we're talking about practice squad players, whatever else. But that next tier wide receiver, Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley. I think those three are fighting for one spot. Then you've got the backup guys, that Trent Taylor, Tay Martin, Tariq Owens, all that. And if Danny Gray's making this roster, it's as a returner with wide receiver upside. So who are the returners? You got Cowing back there. You got Ronnie Bell, Trent Taylor, Isaac Garrido. Like, you've got to overcome and prove that you belong in that group. Danny Gray has a legitimate option of being the starting punt returner week one. That is a for real scenario for the 49ers. I'm not mad at it. Hey, can he secure the ball? He's got the blazing speed and all that stuff. So can he make an impact? I think probably the preseason games, OTAs are done. Training camp's going to be important for Danny Gray. Danny Gray has to prove it in preseason. He's got to show the team, I can be trusted, I can be reliable as a returner with receiving upside. If he can do that, I would not be shocked if he's the number 6 wide receiver. But if he's not, and he gets cut, he ain't coming back here on the practice squad. It is bye-bye. If he doesn't make the initial 53, I'd say there's probably a 0% chance. He can't go straight zero, but he'll join another team. Because other teams will say, man, we've got a quarterback that can throw the ball deep. There's a place for this guy on our roster. So I think Danny Gray will be on a team somewhere. He's either on the 49ers 53 or he is gone. It is put up or shut up time for the speed demon. I always pull for Dallas kids. I really, really do. And I hope that it works out because the upside is there. Health and pairing and match, that's got to come out. Has he become seasoned going through 2 straight years? Can we see some of that, Danny? Come on, Danny. I haven't given up hope yet, man. I'm even wearing a blue shirt, man. SMU would be proud. I don't even like SMU, but whatever. Like, come on, man. Let's see it. For us, we'll just keep counting them down.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.